In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord has made known His salvation. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. He will judge the earth, the world with righteousness. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be ever, world without end. Amen. The Lord has made known His salvation. Have mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us, Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost. In the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequences of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament reading for this sixth Sunday after Epiphany is the Old Testament from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Our epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot take one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the word of the Lord. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is the verse just before our gospel lesson for this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is our text. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, mistakes can be fatal. If someone hits their brakes while driving on icy roads and they hit them too hard, loss of control on that ice can be fatal. If you take medicine from a medicine bottle and don't read the instructions or don't read what's in the bottle, taking the wrong medication can be fatal. And mistaken notions about religion can just as well, if not possibly even more so, be dangerous, because where religion is involved, eternity is involved. As innocent as certain teachings by some churches may on the surface be, they can be soul-destroying unless they come to us from God Himself. The words of Jesus in today's gospel reading are a warning about being religious. That's why I picked that verse just before today's gospel lesson, because it explains really what that gospel lesson is all about. It says, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's eternally fatal. It is obvious from these words of Jesus that we need to be very clear on the kind of righteousness that counts before God. Or another way of saying that is to ask the question, is God pleased with me? Very important question. Is God happy with us? Is God pleased with us? Is God accepting of us? And of course, why? Jesus was speaking to his disciples and to followers on the Sermon on the Mount, and was clearly pointing out that their own self-righteousness, their own holiness, their own good works would count for nothing before God. Jesus told them that if getting to heaven depended on them, if getting God to be pleased with them depended on their own actions, then they were going to have to do better than the scribes and the Pharisees. What was the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? The scribes were the men who made copies of the scriptures. They were known as the legal authorities. They were well known. They were well versed in the laws of Moses. They insisted on a very strict observance of that law of Moses. And they were an outwardly highly moral group of religious leaders. The Pharisees were a sect in the Jewish community. Their belief was that God's grace and God's love came only to those who kept the law of God perfectly. They were pillars of morality. They were beyond the letter of the law in keeping feasts and fasts, in giving of tithes, and in observing the ceremonies. They prided themselves on their good life, and they looked down their noses at others they considered less pious and less holy than themselves. They really disliked Jesus because, as they said, this man receives sinners and he even eats with them of all things. So they were very proud of their good works, very proud of their righteousness, and likewise the scribes were looked upon as very religious. And concerning these two great pious religious groups, these great moral men of high character and religious conviction, Jesus said, "Unless your righteousness exceeded that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." What was wrong with the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? Their religion was just a put-on. Jesus looked not on the works that they performed, but he looked into their hearts and found that something was missing. He called them hypocrites, people who outwardly lived a moral life and yet could not stand before the real law of God. What was missing? Jesus gives an answer to this question in the verses of today's gospel reading. The scribes and Pharisees would never commit an act that was contrary to God's law. They would not kill. They would not commit adultery. They would not break an oath. They would never steal. But Jesus said in today's gospel that what is pleasing to God must go beyond the outward actions of a man or a woman. First of all, Jesus interprets that fifth commandment. Not only is it a sin to kill somebody, to murder, but Jesus says, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. Why? Because whoever hates his fellow man, by Jesus' definition, is a murderer. You see, God looks at the heart. Evil thoughts and evil words are sin already before an action is taken. And the soul that sins, it shall die. Bearing a grudge, according to Jesus' definition, is just as bad as a murder in God's sight. Then Jesus goes to the sixth commandment. Not only is it a sin to commit adultery, but Jesus said, "Everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." The scribes and the Pharisees would never be caught in an act of immorality. They were pure. "No," said Jesus, "God looks at the heart, and lust-filled eyes reveal the heart's evil intent." Can you and I say that our hearts are clean? Has no evil thoughts ever lodged in our minds? No lust-filled desires. Does no evil word ever cross our lips? Sinful thoughts, desires, words, and deeds all must be eradicated. Jesus even used an extreme example in our gospel reading of tearing out an eye or cutting off a hand in order to remove sin from our lives. Jesus is saying with these words that we must fight and we must repress those evil words and those evil desires, no matter how painful the effort may be. From all of what Jesus says, it is obvious that man's righteousness, even if one is a scrupulous scribe or a pious Pharisee, is not going to win God's favor. Sinners that we are, God will never be pleased with us because of our works and deeds. For even though we may outwardly do the will of God, that old sinful nature that is still within us still brings those moments of weakness. And we do fall into sin by our thoughts, by our words, and by our deeds. But let us give thanks to God that the story does not end here. Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We give thanks to God that Jesus' righteousness is our righteousness, and that far exceeds that righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus came to live our righteous lives for us in our place. From his immaculate conception to his glorious resurrection, he came as our substitute. He took our place in every respect. He kept every command of God in the minutest detail, in thought, in word, and in deed. And having done all that, he suffered the punishment of hell on the cross for each and every human being. Our hope is in him and in him alone. As the Apostle Paul wrote, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There is forgiveness from God through Jesus Christ. He makes the sinful heart clean, and his righteousness becomes our righteousness through faith. And that is the only righteousness that counts before God. Now back to the original question, is God pleased with me? If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, who lived, died, and rose again for you, then the answer to that question is a loud and clear yes. God is pleased with us by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. God does not like our sins, but for Jesus' sake, he is pleased with you and with me. Because through faith in Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins and we are right with God. Let us strive for the perfection which God demands of his people. Not only do we have to be better than the scribes and the Pharisees, but Jesus said it elsewhere, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The goal is to be as good as God. I think we can forget about that one. But through Jesus Christ, through sins forgiven, we are right with God. And that is a righteousness that Jesus Christ won for us as he lived the perfect life, died an innocent death, and rose again to represent you and me in the heavenly court of God. God, Jesus is our refuge and our strength. In him we have forgiveness. In him we have the righteousness of God. To God be the glory, now and always. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. That Almighty God, who receives the praise of seas and rivers, may keep us in the baptismal grace He has given us by water and the Word. Let us pray to the Lord for maturity of faith, that our Father in heaven would bless pastors, teachers, parents, and all who teach His Word, and that He would give us a constant desire to hear and obey it. Let us pray to the Lord for peace, that God, who condemns unrighteous anger as murderous, and who has saved us from His righteous anger by the death of His Son, would move us to repentance and reconciliation. Let us pray to the Lord for purity of heart and mind, that the Lord who created us would deliver us from lustful thoughts and the evil of pornography, so that we may lead a spiritually pure and decent life in what we say and do. Let us pray to the Lord for integrity, that the author of truth would preserve us from false oaths and strengthen us to acknowledge His word and to do what He commands. Let us pray to the Lord for the rulers of our nation, that the Lord, who judges all peoples in righteousness and equity, would endow them with wisdom so that we are preserved from unjust division and enabled to live in peace. Lord, let us pray to the Lord for the suffering and all those that we remember in our hearts, that the Lord, our life, would sustain and strengthen them, and for those who mourn, that the Lord would console them with the promise of everlasting life in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord for Christian unity, that God gives growth to the church by His means of grace, would preserve His people from division and worldly wisdom, and unite us in a common confession of His truth. Let us pray to the Lord. To Him we give all honor, glory, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May his true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace.
Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given for you. Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed on the cross of Calvary for the remission of all of your sins. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the remission of all of your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.